Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
Welcome back to another conversation about light. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Caleb. I'm your host, and I'm joined here with Josh and Mark. We're currently working our way through 1 Thessalonians in a series called Living a Godly Life, which has been really cool. Are we going, Mark and Josh?
I am well. Very well.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Feeling good today.
So, the thought I had is, I was going to ask, how would you describe your style? But I think it would be more fun to ask you guys how you each would describe each other's style.
Oh, easy. That's way easier. But Josh should go first, because I think I started last time.
Right. Josh, you're first. So, how would you describe Mark's style?
Smooth operator. Smooth operator.
I love Mark's gold, his way with people, his kindness, his gentleness has grown over the years that I've known him, the way he applies the gospel and embodies the gospel. So I'd say Mark's has a great gospel smell about him. That's what his style.
That's so encouraging. I was going more for like outfit, the aesthetic, okay. But no, that's awesome.
Okay, yeah, he looks woolly. He has a woolly jumper on. So yeah. There you go. Does that help?
That's amazing. Mark?
I don't know how I heard the question. I'm just going to answer it how I heard it. I heard it more as like characteristics. Like if you came across this guy, how would you describe him? Okay. I think Josh, there's a couple of things he loves. He loves the word of God and he loves God's people. He can't really preach. Josh can't preach and say Jesus without getting emotional. Or say Jesus and talk about the church you'll just lose it. So those are deeply in him.
Topics to avoid while preaching.
Jesus and people. If you want to make him equally emotional, ask him to talk about his family and to describe his children one by one. You'll get emotional there as well. He's an incredible dad.
Wow.
Gentle dad. And then I think wicked sense of humor. Josh is always a second away from a joke. Very thoughtful. I think that's the thing. Josh doesn't say a lot of words when they're not needed. And so maybe you think he hasn't thought through a lot of things, but if you ask him to talk about anything, he's already, he's full of thoughtfulness towards it. Often can crack a joke to lighten the mood. I think there's a lightness. Jesus says, my burden is light. Josh doesn't burden people with heaviness. He lightens loads if you ever get discipled by him. And then he has this quirk. Every preacher has a quirk, and Josh's quirk is that he likes repeating things. So it doesn't matter whether everyone's got it, and it doesn't matter whether everyone thought it was funny or not. If Josh feels like it needs to be said again, or Josh enjoyed saying it, it will be repeated. It's difficult to imagine how many times it will be repeated.
It's like a little Easter egg in there. These podcasts, listen out for where Josh repeats himself. He really enjoys that.
It won't be hard to find.
All right. Thanks for that. That was great. Let's dive into today's text.
Today's reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, the English Standard Version. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, for that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instruct you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one.
Well, what an encouraging start to that verse. Start with you, Mark. What are you noticing in this text?
Well, I probably just want to come out swinging and saying it's not saying what we might think it's saying, which is if you take it as a bookmark and it says, let's just take the beginning and the end. Now concerning brotherly love, be dependent on no one. It doesn't sound like that sounds like Western independence. Here's a real mature Christian. They're self-reliant. take, you know, care for themselves and they couldn't be bothered about anyone else. And that's called brotherly love. It's not saying that at all. There's a context for it and we'll get into it, I'm sure. But I think the first thing I noticed right at the top is Paul's encouragement to that stands out. In, you know, now concerning brotherly love, it sounds like he's going to say something about it. He says, I have no need to write to anyone. And I'd be interested if I was them, you know, Paul's setting me up. Why does he not need to write anything to us about brotherly love? He goes, because you have been taught by God. I mean, that is like, boom. You've been taught by God how to love one another, or to love one another. He's not talking about how to love one another. You've been taught by God to love one another. You need no more teaching. When God has spoken, you received his word. You need nothing more. But, you know, I'm going to help you and I'm going to, but you need no more. So I've never had the confidence to preach a sermon and then next week get up and go, King's Cross, you have no need for me to preach this sermon because God spoke last week, but I'm going to anyway. But Paul does have that confidence to say, you know, God has spoken when I was there and told you what he's, you know, told you stuff. But I'm going to tell you some other things. Josh?
Pick up on that thought about you don't need anyone to teach you because God has taught you. I think I've heard that before from people in a way that's not true. So what I mean, so he's very specific here. He says, God has taught you to love each other. I don't really need, it's just so evident that what has happened among you, I can just see it. God's taught you to love each other. Oddly enough, he's writing a whole book of teaching to them. And he's instructing them, right? He's like, just said, I've given you instructions. So it's not that we don't need instruction or people to teach us. So most often I've heard that as, oh, I don't need any instruction because I'm taught by God. Well, that's just not the case in the whole book of Thessalonians. He's saying very specifically, I can see the evidence in your life that you love each other so much. I want you to do it more and more, but you love each other so well. Interestingly, most people who I've met who said they don't need instructions from other people have a very low sense of loving other people. Whereas Paul's the opposite. He's saying, you guys have been taught by God and your love is abounding so much everyone knows about it. Like, and so if you're claiming God's taught me, your life should look like incredible, incredible love. So it's just an interesting dynamic. Yeah, I think as you're saying at the beginning, some of these verses can be misused, I think. You know, I don't need anyone to teach me. Well, that's certainly not the case going on here. So I think the other things noticing, definitely when Paul is addressing the believers about, you know, working with their hands and doing something, that's something we could definitely get into, living the quiet life. What does that mean? I love your comment on the dependent on no one. That's also something that's very can easily be misunderstood. I think Paul is writing here and rebuking a specific situation. Right? It seems that some people have ceased working and are dependent on everyone. So to them, he's saying, work with your hands. Become a carpenter. No. But work with your hands. Do something. And in Ephesians, he says, work with your hands. Stop stealing and work so that you have something to share with others. So the gospel, I like to say, the gospel always calls us to the radical middle, right? It's to the rich. It's saying, you know, in James he says, the rich should glory in his humiliation and the lowly should boast in their exaltation. So if you're wealthy, humble yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're not wealthy, you enjoy the riches of Christ. So it's kind of the call and the rebuke almost comes from both directions. You know, the rich must humble themselves, the poor must exalt in Christ. And I think this is one of those examples where he says, don't be dependent on anyone. Well, he's speaking to those people who've just become dependent on everyone. But, you know, to someone else, he may address in the opposite way, like, you're so independent, you need to break that habit as well. Yeah.
In Thessalonians, if you listen to Paul talking, he often speaks in triplets. And that's kind of a Paul thing. Faith, hope, and love is a triplet of Paul. Sometimes Paul means them precisely like faith, hope, and love. Most of the time, I think Paul means them as, you know, looking at something and showing different sides by which we can understand or encounter. And so, you know, read through this. This must be like the sixth time he's given a triplet in this one letter. Mm. The triplet being, you know, like, want you to do it more and more. How do we do it? Well, aspire to live quietly. One, mind your business. Two, work with your hands. Three. There's another triplet. And when we see those, it's a good time to pause. When you're reading Paul and you see a triplet, it's a good time to pause and go, what is he seeing and describing that he wants us to understand for our lives? Hmm. And we've called the series Living a Godly Life. And Paul's describing, in a very practical sense, what a loving, godly life looks like in a with certain characteristics. And he has three characteristics of it. You know, one characteristic of this life is that they're people who live quietly. You know, they don't have a reputation in the neighborhood of, you know, these outlandish opinions and forceful personalities. And they have this kind of gentleness or quietness or peaceableness about them. It doesn't mean they can't be loud people and fun people, but they have a spirit of peace with them and calmness about them. They mind their own affairs. They kind of don't stick their nose in things that they don't need to be. You know, they're not overly curious or gossipers, or they just kind of are getting on with things, not kind of overly interested in stuff. And he says, work with your own hands. So he's not like, you know, you could break those up and go, what do they mean? And that's okay. That's good to do, you know, but really it's good to put them back together and say, what is Paul describing here? And I think what he's describing is one kind of side of how you can live, how can you grow more and more in brotherly love. Well, here's kind of how a lifestyle looks in that regard.
Seems like he's describing a life that's overflowing with the grace of God. Mm-hmm. So I think the more you are transformed into Christ's image, the more gracious you become. Regardless of your personality, you know, if you're, where you know, you may be loud, but you, the more you become like Christ, the more gracious you become. So people around you, your neighbors and those who are looking in, feel grace and presence of Jesus, not urgent, crisis vibes.
Yeah, good.
And I think that seems to be what he's describing. I want you to mature into someone whose trust and hope is in God. Later in the book, we'll see there's issues of those who've fallen asleep, are they with Jesus or not? And he's asking those questions, and that kind of playing into some of this, because it seems that maybe some of these guys, one option is that they've stopped working and they're just thinking Jesus come back tomorrow, so they've kind of abandoned. And so the vibe they're giving off is like this kind of slightly crazy, like, I don't work, I'm just hanging out, Jesus coming tomorrow. No, the more we become like Christ, the more at peace we are, we're less panicked, we're kind of, I don't know, yeah. Just seems to me that those three things you're talking about, Mark, describe a gracious life, a life that is well-grounded in the sufficiency of God and in the sovereignty of God and in the goodness and grace of God.
You can imagine the difference between someone as well who's running around town, going like, hey man, Jesus is returning tomorrow. What are you doing working? Like, just quit your work and get ready. He's coming back. Yeah. Just disrupting society. And that happens today, even with people's kind of, what do they think is going to happen at the end times, or how are they preparing, or how they, you know, any of us can get a bean up on it about some theology or idea and disrupt a bunch of people around us. And Paul's like going, you know, like, simmer down on that, calm down on that, you know.
Yeah.
What does, because this is coming out of the previous text, right, that's ended, as you said, at the end of last week, it's ended with, we have the Holy Spirit, not to live a life of impurity, but a life of love. So the Holy Spirit, what does that look like? Man, it looks pretty boring.
Yeah.
It looks like going to work. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you to go to work.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's going to empower you to not be a gossiper.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's going to empower you to have a quiet spirit.
Yeah. I think this is Paul's version of, in the 90s, there was a saying called, cut your hair and get a job. I don't think young people would understand that these days. Everyone has long hair or whatever. But
mullets,
whatever. But Paul's like, hey guys, just cut your hair and get a job. Get on with life, you know. Desire the quiet life. That's strange. I think in our culture we're taught to desire the famous life, desire the easy life, desire all kinds of life. But Paul's like, desire the quiet life. Get on with living for God, living for Jesus in a gracious and way that's has a great fragrance to outsiders.
I love how that aspiration or that desire in itself we can't do on our own. It's like even in Paul's encouragement for them to desire a quiet life or work with their hands, it's something we can't do on our own strength, but we actually have to have this reliance on the Holy Spirit. So again, like even in those words, like those practical words, there's a sense of if you aspire to this, you're going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Our culture is all about busyness and being famous. And
Very good.
Yeah. In closing, what's an encouragement that we can take into our week from this text?
I can give a thought and then maybe Mark can say something. But I wonder, to me, it seems like quite a big shift from to desiring the quiet life. Like we said, most of us desire, I want to maximize my gifts and be all the best I can be and achieve my full potential. When that's the backdrop of your life, I don't think you will reflect the gospel in a powerful and meaningful way. And that's a huge shift, because that's so pervasive in your heart, in your identity, in your thought, in your everyday thought. I'm striving to make something of myself, to achieve fame or become the best at X or Y. I think this is a very impactful text if that changes our hearts from I desire to be most superb X to I desire to be transformed and to reflect the gospel, in a sense to desire the quiet life, which is my trust now moves into the place where I'm trusting God above my desire to win at X. You know, I think it's a huge shift. If that's a question we can ask ourselves, I think that can make a huge impact on us.
Yeah, I'd love to reflect on that. The thought being, God has not called you to reach your potential. God has called you to love. What does that look like?
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more, head over to perthchurch.com.au, where you can find sermon resources that dive deeper into these conversations. If you found this conversation helpful, we would love you to leave a review and share it with your family and friends.